Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Yeah. Well, we're going to allow the scripture to go through us this morning. How many of you have a difficult time throwing things out? Well, some of you are starting to look at each other. Yeah, like right back here and over here. It's like, why didn't your hand go up? Don't raise my hand for me. All that stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. The book of Ecclesiastes says a time for everything under the sun, right? And in verse 6, it says there's a time for throwing things away, and there's a time to keep things. And I don't want to take this out of context, but I want your mind to be set on this morning. What is it that I need to keep, and what is it that I need to throw away or get rid of in my life? Not just my garage or in my basement or wherever else, but in here. What do I need to keep? What do I need to throw away? Draw your attention to Hebrews chapter 10. I'd like to read this to you, this verse here this morning. Hebrews 10 is verse 35. It says this, "Therefore, do not throw away," which is translated to, "this you keep." All right? "This you keep." All right? "Therefore, do not throw away, but keep your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." Hang on to. You know, he writes this letter, the author of this book, which is still up for some debate on who authored this book, but we know that it is the inspired word of God that came by a revelation of the Holy Spirit through the writer, who now the Holy Spirit helps us read this and gain understanding and then helps work it into our life, right? That's the process when it comes to Scripture. And so here is God's Word breathed to us, filled with life, and it knows how to look deep within you and I. And it knows how to wage war against our own preferences that sometimes are out of line with who God is and what He desires for our life. And there's instruction that the Holy Spirit gives to the writer that says that you keep your confidence. Do you ever think about moments? I want you to think about this. Have you thought of moments where you don't feel confident? You know, when you get a little older, just a heads up, there are things that I grow more confident in. But there are also some things that I don't grow as confident in through time. There are things I used to just hop up on and jump off of. Now I carefully slither off of them and walk around. Don't have the same confidence, right? I'm hoping there's a little bit of wisdom in this, okay? Wayne, you do not need to be up on that 40-foot ladder to the three and a half stories of your house that you have on Montgomery Street. You don't need to be up there on that ladder anymore. He won't listen to you, will he, Bonita? No, yeah. Listen, there are some things that change in our life, but there are things that we need to learn to keep and things where we grow in confidence. You know that there's times where you shrink back because you're not real confident in something, or you try to cover it up and act confident, but you don't actually pull it off and do it. You wouldn't want to appear weak to anyone. When it comes to the things of God in our life that He has helped through time build and put into us and change and take things out of us. We build a confidence in God more because we know Him more. And we build a confidence of God in our life, not based upon our righteousness, but based upon His faithfulness to us through time, that there is a confidence that comes. It's not based upon our achievement. It is based upon who He is. And He says, keep these things that you have confidence in God. You look at His track record. You look at who He is. You look at what He's done through other people's lives and even your own. We're to keep that confidence in Him, even in times that are difficult and challenging for us, that come up and test our faith, right? Test our faith. The testing of our faith is to produce good things. The testing of our faith is not to cause us to throw in the towel and fall apart. He says, keep this confidence that you have in who the Lord is and endure. Say it, endure.
Endure.
Say it again, endure.
Endure.
Say it to somebody next to you, endure. That's a tough word. That's a tough word because enduring has to do with finishing a race, finishing something that usually is hard for us, something that we don't enjoy maybe much, where it's difficult. And he says, keep your endurance. You will be rewarded. God keeps the books. And He's the one that inspires us and helps us and strengthens us. And yet He allows us with His help to endure, and yet He gives us the reward when He's the one who has done it all along. How gracious is He? He writes this to believers. So I want you to know that if He writes to us about what to keep and what to endure, then it means this. There's a possibility for me to throw it away. If He's telling me to keep, don't throw it away, that means there's a possibility for me to throw away this marvelous grace and mercy that He has extended and gifted to me. How do we lose it? How do we throw it away? Well, we can go back a couple of verses here. Read verse 26. For if we go on sinning deliberately, say deliberately.
Deliberately.
If we go on sinning deliberately, after receiving the knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ, His salvation for us, there no longer remains a sacrifice for our sins. See, His salvation to you and I, it's free. You and I don't work for it. Jesus did the work for it on the cross. And through faith in Him, we experience a salvation to our life. And it's free. But you and I cannot be mistaken in the fact that our salvation is free, that we now have a responsibility on top of this goodness and grace and mercy that God has given to us, to make good on this grace, to make good on this mercy, for us to leave behind the life and where He found us and delivered us from into a new life, a transformation, a process. He says, don't go on sinning deliberately after you receive the knowledge of the truth. For what sacrifice is left for that? But a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. You think, why do we write? Why read this scripture here? We're ending out the year. We're starting a new year here in just a couple of days. You see, God's people, they did something interesting. And if you've been around here, you've heard me teach on this, so I won't go into great extent on it. But there is something that they do. They have special days throughout the year. You can call them holy days or festivals or seasons and times through the year, just like you and I do, though our calendar is different than the old Jewish calendar, and we operate in our calendar and what we understand and how things through history have changed. And the point is not about the calendar. The point is about the principles. That's what matters. And what they would do at the close of their, what they considered the close of their year, which is not this date, but this is the close of our year. And they would do something at the close of their year in advance of it coming. And they would go through Rosh Hashanah and prepare for, you know, the days of awe and different things like this. But what they did is they would, in this process, before the end of their year, is they would pause. They would spend days, time, throughout the days, and they would consider the last year. They would reflect on it. And it wasn't so much reflecting just on the year and the events that happened. It was personal introspection. It was looking in here. What did I do and say this last year that was not right in God's sight? These are very serious days. This wasn't about heaping up guilt. This wasn't about beating oneself up. It was about an honest evaluation of how faithful have I been to God. In my character, in changing, in not throwing away my confidence in who He is and what He's done, but enduring. Have I endured this year in faithfulness, or have I just kind of endured and gone through the calendar, and now I'm down to the wire here? There was something about redemption that is kind of intrinsic. It's like the point of redemption comes, the point of responsibility comes with it, and change happens. And yet there's this evaluation that we continue to walk through in this Christian life, to look at me. I have to look at me. My motives, the depths within me, what there is unpleasing to God. And it's a serious thing because we find out through the writer in Hebrew that there is a chance that I could throw this away. This marvelous gift, it seems puzzling when you sit back and think about what sensibility is there at all in getting this marvelous gift of grace and mercy from God and then just throwing it away. He went to great extent because He loves you and you matter to Him. And He doesn't want you to be lost in the end. Paul writes it about himself. He says, I don't want to do things that I preach the life of Christ, the salvation of Christ, and yet if I myself do not discipline myself, take responsibility in this grace and mercy that was freely given to me, I will then disqualify myself for the very prize of which I preach. So there's a seriousness about His word to us. There's a seriousness about this principle to you and I. That as we end this year, where you and I are to take reflection over this year and say, what have I not resolved with God? You see, you and I will not do very well going into the new year or into our future with unresolved baggage from last year. Unresolved baggage. There are things that we are supposed to keep, and there are things that we are supposed to throw away. Throw off everything, the sin that so easily entangles you, the writer of Hebrews says. There's a time to keep and there's a time to throw things away. In our spiritual life, in our walk with Him, the conduct of our life, the behavior, the very root of who we are and who we're becoming in Christ, in this marvelous grace. We love His grace and we love His mercy. But it is not a grace and mercy that is supposed to empower you and I into mediocrity or sloppy living, but rather to be free from ourselves and live unto Him according to His word and His principles that carry out in our life by the way we act and how we treat people and how we overcome unrighteousness and sin and the traps that are set before us in this life. Keep the confidence that God has the power to keep you. He has the power to save and He has the power to keep you. And He is very interested in keeping you. He does not let you go easily. I want you to hear that. If you're here this morning and you feel like you have reasons to hang your head and you just never really have felt the pleasure of God upon your life, I want you to know that He loves you. He's for you. He knows your history. Listen, He knows what you struggled with. He knows what He has helped you overcome. He knows with what you still struggle. But His love for you has never changed. It's never changed. God's for you, and He is interested in you. You can ask why. But the fact of the matter is, He just is. He is love. And He cares and He has compassion. Listen, so the Hebrews, these Jewish people, they would do something near the end of the year. And this is the part where you've heard me teach on this before, and I won't go into great extent, but it's Tishlik. It's where they would seek forgiveness. And Tishlik would be the throwing out or the casting off. And so they would go to like a river or moving water. And they would empty out their pockets of everything and throw it into the moving water. They would empty it. Some of them would even take in their pocket and turn it inside out, and even the lint and everything. They wanted to hold nothing back. And it was a physical example of what they were supposed to be doing spiritually. Where we come and we say, listen, I need to settle all my debts with God through faith in Jesus Christ and the power of His blood. Anything that is not resolved in my life over this last year, I need to get it out. I need to get rid of it. I need to quit hanging on to it. I need to quit doing it. I need to quit thinking like this. Whatever is accumulated that has gone against the confidence that you and I need to endure, they take and they just... they repent. They seek forgiveness and they seek to be better. That's all part of this process. So it's a time of evaluation. Looking inside. It's a time of seeking forgiveness from God. And it's also a time for forgiving others. I am not holding on to the bitterness, the grudge, the attitude that got me here. Nor the wound that has, stricken my soul from somebody. I'm letting it all go. And the moving water, these rivers that they would go to, it would wash it away. It would move it. It would wash it. And where did rivers empty out? They'd empty out into the lake. Some into a lake, but into a sea, into the ocean, into the deep waters, the massive waters over the earth. They would just wash it away. You will see in scriptures where it talks about and alludes to the sea of forgetfulness. That our sins, they were washed away and they are brought to the sea of forgetfulness where they no longer have an effect on us because God does not remember them against you. Whew. Yeah, good news. His blood flowed. It moved. It flowed. It washes away. As far as the east is from the west. They don't meet. East and west do not meet. You can go around the earth and head east, and you will always be heading east. So far he removes them, takes them into a sea of forgetfulness. You can find it in Micah chapter 7 where it says that those sins will, he will remember them no more, as if it put into a sea. You find other references in Isaiah and Psalm and Jeremiah and Hebrews, even Hebrews chapter 8, it says this, "For I will be merciful toward their iniquities and I will remember their sins no more." No more. I will not remember them. When things are forgotten, they no longer have an effect on you. Did you know that? It's the things that we remember that we have an effect on us. Think about it. You remember what happened back that was hurtful back in the third grade, and it has shaped you through your life because you remember that. What about the things you forgot in third grade? I don't think they have any effect on me because I don't remember them. Right? It's like coming to meet somebody who you remember they hurt you, and you meet them. Offense, unforgiveness, bitterness, wound. It changes how you feel and how you treat them because you remembered it. Have you ever forgotten what somebody has done to you? You treat them totally different. They don't have to pay the price of some offense because you forgot it. You know, when Christmas comes and other times of the year where our children and grandchildren all come to our house, and it's with great joy and peace and quietness. The toys are never thrown on the floor. And so then I have no chance to step on one. You get the sarcasm here. But when we get together as a family, you know what my adult children do? They're all adult children, by the way. Now, they tell stories. I remember when. Or remember that Christmas? Or do you remember that toy? Or do you remember that time? And sometimes it will jog my memory on those good moments that I still have. And then there's things they say that it sounds like that would have happened in our house or my life or something I did if it pertained to me. But, Sal, I don't remember it. I'm glad they do, because usually it's a good story and they laugh and they have fun, and then that'll lead to another story and all of that. And so it affects them still. It affects them still. It's like Pastor Brock, my son, who wrote a little brief book on things his dad told him. I read it. And the titles of those chapters, those really are things that I told him. Some of those things were things that my dad told me. Yeah. Then there's a whole lot in there that I'm glad he didn't write. The other things my dad told. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, Rob. We live under the influence of the things we remember. And when God says that he has the ability to forget, that's powerful. But it is specific to one thing. The only thing he forgets is your sins. When we seek forgiveness and don't hold anything back, we empty everything into the flow of the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away our sin, our record. This is the grace and mercy that you and I have been afforded. So here we are at the end of this year. What does this mean? This is beautiful, but what does this mean for me? And I know that a lot of you in this room, you maintain your spiritual walk with the Lord on a daily, hourly, minute basis of confession and feeling the rightful conviction of encouragement and things that are wrong that the Lord brings to you because you walk with Him. But even those of us who do has something collected somewhere along the year that it just kind of worked its way into a pattern or routine or some maybe just some specific event. Please, please, please do not drag that and leave it unresolved and drag that into your future days. Don't drag it into 2025. Let it be paid for, washed, cleansed, and you're seeking to be different. You're seeking to be better. That's that responsibility part. Endure. Don't throw in the towel. You get into 2025 and say, oh, hey, this has been going okay for the first few days. And then something happens that you did in 2024. Don't throw in the towel and go, oh, it's no use. You keep your confidence in what Christ can do. What He's done. What He can still do. And you endure. Endure as a good soldier, Paul writes. Endure it. But you and I, for repentance to happen, it has to do with some reflection. Please don't drag stuff spiritually. Don't drag it into 2025. It's beautiful that we have a calendar, that there's new beginnings along the way and there's seasons, that there can be a fresh start. It represents really a parallel to who God is, that He gives us a fresh start. If we seek forgiveness, if we look at seeking to forgive others as He has forgiven us, and we seek to be better, different than who I've been. Listen, they would go through and they would do these things in their final days. They would even attend, listen, they would even attend special prayer services. Listen, we've got one coming up. It's New Year's Eve. It's Tuesday evening, 6 o'clock. It's worshiping Him and praying and celebrating Him and remembering what He has done for us in the way of communion and His death on the cross and what He gave to redeem us and the power of His blood to forgive us, to make us clean. What a great way to start the day, the beginning of the week. What a way to bring in the new year, a fresh start. Forgetting that which has had a hold on us, that it no longer has an influence on us because we've confessed and it's been washed away. He knows His mercy. He knows the power of it. He knows the power of His grace. And He has sent His Holy Spirit, right, to help us. He's the helper, Scripture says. To help us what? To help us live responsible upon this grace and mercy that has been given to us. Do not throw it away. Why don't you stand with me, please? Listen. If you're going to throw something out, throw out the sins. Don't contemplate. Don't go through your inventory, your retrospection here the next couple of days as you're going through it. Even if you might be going through it right now, just don't hesitate to hang on to it. Don't deceive yourself and talk yourself into, well, God understands. In Hebrews, where I read, don't throw it away, and I read some verses on how we throw things away, how we continue to deliberately sin. You and I also need to focus not on just what we need to throw away, but what we need to keep and what we need to be doing. It says this in Hebrews 24. I'll go to verse 23. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, but keeping, right? For he who promised, he's faithful. He's faithful. So let us consider. Oh, listen, this is what we're supposed to consider. In our time of reflection of what we need to throw out, we also need to have a component of our reflection of what we are supposed to be considering to do. It's not just the stuff we did, it's also maybe the stuff we didn't do, right? That we need to heighten, that we need to seek, that we need to allow him to work into the fabric of our life. Look what he says in this passage where he talks about the keeping and the throwing away. And he says, let us consider how to stir one another to love and good deeds. Have you ever sat, stood somewhere, driving, thought about how do I provoke or encourage so-and-so to love or to do right? As parents, I hope that we do this concerning our children. Consider, how do I raise my child to think like this, to do like this, to love like this? How can I encourage them? How can I provoke them? Have you ever thought about that beyond parenting? Have a friend, how do I encourage them to love? How do I encourage them to do what's right? See, these are the things that we need to reflect. Have you done that this last year? Are you in relationship with people in the body of Christ? Think, how can I set an example? How can I encourage them? How can I do this without judging them, condemning them, but to love them and encourage them to love and to do right and to follow God's word and encourage them in God's... Do you ever sit and consider that? Well, in your time of reflection over this last year, you get to evaluate that. I get to evaluate that. Excuse me. Sorry about that. Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good deeds. Let us consider not neglecting to meet together. Listen, I want to be gentle here, but our live stream was never meant for people to just stay at home and that's their church life. That's a tool for those who can't make it here or those who want to get a taste of new life. What might the service be like here before I go there? I'm doing a little homework. But it was never meant for people just to stay home and be disconnected from the body of Christ. And I don't care what your reason is. Listen, you don't have to, I'm not attacking you here. You don't have to defend yourself to me. You don't have to try to convince me that, well, when I'm at home, there's less distraction. I pay better attention. Oh, I don't feel hindered in my worship because I'm in my living room. I appreciate whatever reasons you come up with. I'm not condemning you for the reasons. I'm not condemning you at all. I'm just telling you that you need to reflect on this last year and recognize that you have been out of fellowship with the body of Christ. There's no way that you can provoke somebody else to love and good deeds if you are not with them. And no, Facebook, I'm sorry. Instagram, immediate personal message, whatever that stuff is, the messaging. I think there's a place for it. I think you use it, but not as a replacement for the living body of Christ to be together according to what God puts in His Word and writes to us. I'm not condemning you. I'm just telling you that this is what He wrote. This is the way we're supposed to conduct ourselves. This is the relationship we're supposed to be in. So in your reflection over the last year, consider what you and I have maybe, or what we have done, I have done, you, what you have done that isn't right, but the things that you haven't done, the things I haven't done that haven't been right, that I need to pay more attention to. So consider, how do I stir this up? How do I encourage love and good deeds with those that I don't neglect meeting together as some are in the habit of doing? Listen, change your habit. Well, I just, you know, God understands I don't really like crowds and, a lot of people around me. Hey, listen, I can appreciate the challenges. The challenges for each of us are numerous. There are people here who don't like being in crowds, don't like being around a lot of people, but here's the great thing. God has helped them overcome. And they're here. So the message is this for any of us. I got to move beyond my personal preference and even some things that seem to be legitimate that even the doctor said I have. That I can submit to Jesus. And He can help me overcome. If I proclaim Him as a healer, then I need to give Him opportunity to heal me. If I proclaim Him as to others as one who gives strength, then I need to have give Him the opportunity to give me strength. This is His word to us. Habit. I want to say this in the gentlest, kindest way. But there's times that I've just got to allow the Holy Spirit to help me look in the mirror and say, hey, grow up. Mature. Quit hanging on to things and making them trophies or reasons or excuses, no matter who endorses them, that hinder me from continuing to try to grow and excel in God. And make me better. Hold fast to the confession. Keep your confidence. Consider how to, encourage others. Consider, what am I not doing that I should be? What habit has formed that works outside God's word? But encourage one another. Encourage one another all the more as the day is approaching, as His return is drawing nearer. We're one day closer than yesterday. I just know I'm 50 years closer than I was when I was. ...11. Listen, God cares for you. And He knows the struggle. And He knows this past year. He knows where you have tried to exert effort. He knows where you've fallen short. He knows where you've been lazy or where you deliberately sinned. Listen, He knows that. But He has not abandoned you. So arise and shine, your light has come, right? Jesus has come. He will do His work. And you are facing 2025. So before I close in prayer, I want to read this to you. In the Hebrew year, this is 5785. Now, in the Hebrew, numbers mean something. They don't just mean seven. It would be like in the English language if you, you know, you young guys, your brother sees a girl and says, hey, I want you to meet this girl. And of course, your natural response is going to be, does she know the scripture? You might get to that question. You're going to say, no, really. She's beautiful. Well, what is she on a scale of 1 to 10? 10! See, numbers do mean something, but it's rare. It's not in our regular language like in Hebrew language. 57, 85 is interpreted. Now, you listen. You're about to step into 57, 85, 2025. If you empty your pockets at the river and you seek to be better, you repent, you're changing. You keep confidence in God. Don't throw it away. This is what this year will mean for you. The Hebrew year 5785 is often interpreted because of these numbers as a year of significant grace. Not just grace, as if it falls short, it doesn't, but significant grace, which usually translates to double portion. Significant grace. So do your reflecting. Get rid of stuff that doesn't belong. Because if you do, you are about to step into a year where double portion grace and 5785, new beginnings. Significant grace and new beginnings. That's what this year, these numbers mean in the Hebrew calendar. Significant grace for you. Double portion. You're like, what double portion? Listen, I want you to picture a piece of banana cream pie that my wife made. And you say, yes, I'll have a piece of that. And she brings you two. She's treating you like one of her son-in-laws. That's what that double portion. Significant grace and new beginnings. I don't know what routine or what's been going on or where you're at, but this is a year of new beginnings. I don't know what you've been hoping for, and maybe you haven't had it. You're just content and hallelujah, that's great. But this year, in the Hebrew calendar, they look at this and say, these numbers mean something. This God uses significant grace and new beginnings. It means potential spiritual breakthroughs this year. Maybe you've been battling something for years, for your life. Hey, listen, 2025 or 5785, breakthrough, a new beginning for you, that there's going to be an expansion of your life. And it comes from Him. But it all starts with this. Keeping the confidence in Him and throwing out the stuff I need to get rid of before it starts. The stuff that I'm not willing to let go or throw out will prevent me from living in the fullness of what this prophetic year means. It will stop me. Great is His grace, and great is His mercy, and He knows how through the blood of his Son to forget sins. Bow your head with me, please, all over this room. If you're here and you will commit, if you will commit to doing serious reflection of who you have been in God's sight over this last year, and you will throw out, with God's help, you will throw out that which doesn't belong, and you will pay closer attention to what you need to be and what you need to be doing. If you will commit to that in the reflection over the next couple of days, would you just please raise your hand all over this room? Nobody else is looking around. Would you just raise your hand and say, I'm going to take this serious. Some of you are in the balance. It's like, I want to, but I'm kind of afraid to, or I don't want. Listen, talk to God about it anyhow. Just talk to him about it. I'm going to encourage you just to talk to him about it. Talk to him about your fear, your hesitation to reflect. Just talk to him about it. You could talk to God and just say, God, I don't want to do it. And then let him ask questions, and you guys, we start the dialogue and see where it brings you. Just see where it brings you. See where he brings you. The decision is still yours. But commit to that. Give him opportunity to work in your heart.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.